breaking took place in my soul. When I got up from that altar, I knew that God heard my prayer and that there was a change coming to my life and that he was with me. Amen. Don't tell me the people that repent don't get an experience, because I'm telling you, when you really cry out to God with all your heart, he is there to forgive you. Amen. And to make a difference in your life. And I'm glad they led me away to the water where they baptized me in the name of Jesus. And I'm telling you, amen, when you've repented of your sins, there's no greater experience than going down in the likeness of his death and rising in the likeness of his resurrection. I was a clean person. I was a new man. Amen. There was a brand new soul. Amen. Standing in that water. Praise God. Then they said, oh, this is just the beginning. Of course, I knew I needed the Holy Ghost. And I would never forget the night I got the Holy Ghost. It was just a few nights later. I was determined. You know, you don't get the Holy Ghost till you open your heart and give him all. You got to totally surrender. I mean, you got to give yourself wholly to the Lord. And when you finally come to that point, you say, God, I need you more than I need life. I need you more than anything else in this world. I mean, I'm opening myself to you. Just fill me with your spirit. And I'm telling you, he filled me with the Holy Ghost. And since that day, everything has changed. Amen. Praise God. It's just gotten, as the old man would say, gooder and gooder. Amen. Better and better. Amen. Because that's what happens when God's in your heart. You got your Bibles? Turn with me to a very familiar scripture. When Brother Shabosha called me and asked me to preach, God laid this scripture on my heart, and I said, I can't preach from that. Every preacher that comes through that pulpit uses that scripture, probably. I need something better than this, you know? But here it is. It's so familiar, it's like shoe leather. Amen, dude. You just know it. In Acts 2:1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. There's a few things there. He said it set on each of them. And they all begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God, amen, gave them the utterance. You may be seated. God bless you today. Amen. I know I'm standing in the way of lunch today or supper, whatever. But I do have a word from the Lord. There's something very powerful that happened on the day of Pentecost. Everyone received the promise. That was a promise given to them. And everyone received the promise. And everyone spoke in tongues. And it was a personal experience. Amen. God knows. And he knew that they needed the power in order to be able to overcome the world in which they were living. They needed this power in order to be able to establish the church that he came to die for. Amen. And they needed the power of God to effectively work in their life in order to do the job that he left in their hands. And I tell you, when I sing that song, I'll never forget that wonderful hour. It brings it all back to me. I'll never forget when the Holy Ghost came. I don't know if it came up through my feet or came down through my head, but I know this much. All of a sudden, it came out of my heart and my mouth. And I began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of the Lord gave the utterance. And I got peace and joy. I got a completeness in God that I've never wanted anything other than that peace with God. Amen. His Spirit changed everything in my life. As I said, I was 17 years old. And that was what a dramatic change he had brought in our life. When I think about the power, I think about God's power. And I don't know that we give enough attention to how mighty and how powerful our God is. But in the beginning, I think of the chapter, the first chapter of the Bible tells us that he created the heavens and the earth. Think of the power of God to be able to just speak, and it all came into being. On the first day, he said, let there be light. And all of a sudden, there was light. He divided the light, and he said the light was day and the darkness was night. He just spoke, and it all come to pass. The second day, he said, let there be a firmament. He separated the waters that were up on the earth, and he drove the water high, and he brought the water down, and there was a firmament, a space between the waters. And so important, because it became the environment in which man was going to eventually live in. And then the third day, he separated those waters up on the earth. He pushed the waters aside and let dry ground appear. And then he spoke and he said, let every green herb-yielding seed come forth out of its own kind. And all of a sudden, the earth turned green. And we have the trees and all the things that we enjoy so very much. On the fourth day, he said, let there be a sun. And let there be a moon. And let there be stars in the sky. When I think of the greatness and the might of God, when you think of the great expanse of the stars, he said he put in the span of his hand. And these galaxies, our galaxy and another galaxy, over 720 light years apart. You're talking millions of miles apart. And God just put it all out there in one time. And then he said he named him. Amen. He named him, everyone. He knows every star. He has a name for every star. And what a mighty, powerful God, amen, that brought all this about. Then the Bible said he spoke and said, let the waters bring forth. And they brought forth all the animals and the whales. All the things were. And then he said, let the fowls of the air come forth out of the waters. And the whole earth became occupied by the things which God had. God really had what a powerful God. I mean, I don't know if he made the antelope first, and then he stretched his neck and made a raft. I don't know how he did all of that. How did he come up with a porcupine? And all of these things that he made. But in his imagination, in his mind, he just spoke it. And it happened. It just took place. Because whatever he said came to pass. Amen. His word was enough. On the sixth day, he stooped and he made man. He formed him in the dust of the earth. And then he breathed into him and he made him a living soul. And when you look inside your body, such an integral instrument. I mean, all the things that go on in the inside of our body. And God just said, let it be. And it was. He formed all these things. Throughout the Old Testament, we see the mighty hand of God, the power of God on display. I just can't imagine what it was like in the days when they were in bondage in Egypt and the plagues came. One by one, these plagues came. And the land of Egypt was filled with these things, except for Goshen. He put his hand over Goshen. It went everywhere but where the children of God were, his children, amen, until that final plague when he told them to prepare a sacrifice. And that sacrifice that was a likeness of what was to come, amen. And they took the lamb and they put the blood upon the doorpost and across the lintel of their house. And the angel, death angel, passed through Egypt. And what a mourning, what a moan came out of Egypt. For all the firstborn of Egypt, where the blood was not applied, they all perished. Amen. And we see what a delivering hand. Pharaoh said, you go and take what you want. Amen. And they spoiled Egypt. They took the gold and the silver, the brass, and all the things they wanted. They took with them. They laid down their wagons and their things with all the things. The Egyptians just gave, take these things and go. Amen. And they made their way out to the desert, only to find himself entrapped in, again, amen, God formed a miraculous, mighty, powerful act. He opened the sea, and they walked through on dry ground. When I can't imagine walking through those waters, and the water standing up maybe 75, 80 feet high. Amen. And you're on dry ground, and you're walking across, and all that formed in one night's time, just one night's time, and the children of Israel marched into freedom. Then to turn their backs and look back over where they'd come and see the enemy completely destroyed before their hands. That's the power of God can do. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Then I think of Elijah. Oh, what a powerful statement. He called for Ahab to get all of the prophets of Grove and bring them out, and we're gonna have a match off here. Amen. We'll see who is God. And the God that answers by fire, let him be God. Amen. And he gave them the first chance. And they went all the way up through noon. And their prayers were not answered. And he provoked them a little bit. Say, maybe your God is asleep. Amen. And cry out a little louder. They got so engrossed in trying to gain the attention of their God, they began to cut themselves. And their God never answered. And Elijah steps up. Now you'd think, let's make this as easy as can be. But he said, he put the stones in place and the wood and the sacrifice, and he had them dig a ditch around it, and then he had them bring barrels of water. Not just once, not just twice, but three times they dumped this water over the sacrifices until the ditches were full. And then he stood back and he asked God, he said, oh, Lord Jehovah, amen, send the fire down upon this sacrifice and show all of Israel. And the fire fell from heaven. And when it fell from heaven, not only was the water licked up, the stones were even burnt to pieces. And the mighty hand of God showed himself powerful. Daniel and the three Hebrew children cast into the lion's pit. Those lions were hungry. You say, well, how do you know that, Brother Russ? Because after they delivered Daniel, those who accused Daniel were thrown in, and they were eaten up quite rather quickly. But when old Nebuchadnezzar, having lost the night's sleep, came early in the morning, he said, oh, Daniel, has thy God delivered thee? And Daniel says, oh, long live the king. Amen. My God hath shut the lion's mouth. Amen. And he was delivered. Three Hebrew children, they were casting into that furnace. He said, well, maybe the furnace wasn't as hot as the people think it was, but it killed the ones that threw them in. Amen. And the king said, did not we cast three men in there? He said, but there's a fourth man walking around in the midst of that fire. God showed himself mighty and powerful. Amen. Over and over, we read the history of the Old Testament. We see the hand of God showing up and exercising the power and authority and great force. Well, 400 silent years went by. Finally, a prophet rose in Israel by the name of John the Baptist. He was prophesied of in the scripture, and he would be the forerunner for the Messiah who was to come. John said, I'm not he. Amen. He said that he that cometh after me, he is mightier and greater than he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen. Well, Peter preached about Jesus in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts there at Cornelius' house. And he said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, you notice this. This man, Jesus, who was born. Let me just back up just a minute. When Jesus was born, the Bible said that the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. The Almighty came, and he overshadowed Mary. And something began to happen within Mary's bosom. Amen. A seed was planted. And a child was to begin to develop. Amen. And this child, the angel told Mary, He shall save his people from their sins. Amen. And he told Joseph, don't be afraid to take her as your wife. For this that is going on in her is of the Holy Ghost. In other words, the Almighty, amen, is doing this work in her life. When I think of how the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus, he went about healing all manner of sickness. He gave sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf, and he raised even the dead. He left cities, the scripture says, whole cities where no one was sick and everyone was healed. And he showed himself mighty and powerful. But teaching his disciples in John 14 and 12, Jesus said to his disciples, verily, verily, when he says verily, verily, he's saying listen closely. Amen. Stop for a moment. Just think what about I'm about ready to tell you. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. He made two promises. In verse 13, he said, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. He made two promises in these two scriptures. To one, he said, what the works that I do, he said, ye shall do also. He said, these things that you see in me do, you're going to do it from now on. And it's going to be a part of your lives. And God is going to empower you to do the same thing. Then he said, even greater things than this shall we do. Why? Because Jesus was limited. He was just one. And he's talking about the church. And we're one of many. We're made up, we're called the ecclesia, the church. We're just one of many. And every one of us is empowered by the Holy Ghost to do the same things that Jesus was doing. Amen. And when I think about the power of God and the power that is given to us, Jesus is doing all these things. And then all of a sudden, they find themselves, he's being crucified. Can you imagine walking with him? And seeing all the things he's doing, and all of a sudden he's telling you he's got to go, and that he's got to leave, and they crucify him, and he's on a cross dying, and it was hard for them to wrap their minds around what is exactly happening here. They had hoped that he was setting up a kingdom on earth, and they put him in the grave, and the third day he rises again. You talk about power. Amen. And he meets with the disciples, and he begins to give them just some final instructions. And he said, not many days hence, I'll be in you, and you'll be in me. And he said, just a little bit farther down the road, amen, something great and miraculous is going to happen. He told him in Luke 24 and 49, he said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. In Acts 1 and 8, Jesus said his final day on earth, he had led them out to Bethany. And there at Bethany, getting ready to ascend back into the heavens, he told them in Acts 1 and 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and in Samaria and to the othermost parts of the earth. Amen. Let me say to us all today, he said we would receive power and we would become witnesses. He said it shall come upon you. That means every one of us. God's not got anyone that he would leave out. Everybody, amen, has the right and the ability to have the Holy Ghost in their life. And he said, this would make us a witness unto me. Amen. Sister Ewing wrote a song many years ago. And she said, there's a place in the heart of man that nothing can fill except loving Jesus and doing his will. And I'm telling you, everyone, every man, woman, boy, and girl that's born, there is a place in their heart that nothing can fill except the love of God. And that only the love of God can bring satisfaction and completeness in their life. As before we come to Christ, we find ourselves running to and fro, trying everything that we can try to Fill that void that's in our heart, that emptiness that's in our life. Amen. But it's only by the grace and the mercy of God that we turn to Him. And when we turn to Him, He fills us, amen, with the power of God. And that satisfying portion is poured into our life that satisfies our heart. In the fourth chapter, or third chapter of the book of Acts, we find it said in it says there that Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask of alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew it was he that sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto them. I'm telling you today, the Peter on the day of Pentecost got power with God, and that power is what he used the next day as he was going to the temple. He realized and understood the words of Jesus when Jesus said, "All these things you see me doing, you'll do them also." Amen. And there was I don't think he was nervous. I don't think he was hoping that, boy, I hope this works. I think he was completely satisfied to know I have the power. Amen. It's within me. And he spoke to that man. He said, "Look on me." And he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have." Amen. And he took him by the hand. Now, I know the man expected to get something, but Peter expected something also. He knew that taking him by the hand, he was going to help him up, and he was going to see a miracle take place. I'm telling you, we got to realize the power of the Almighty, which made in the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof. That power which did all those miracles back there in the Old Testament, that power now resides in you and me, in the Holy Ghost. We've been given the opportunity today to be an extension of God Himself. Amen. God is still writing the book of Acts. Amen. There's still healings and deliverances going on today, just as it was in the times of the apostles. Mark 16:17, that said, pardon me, "These signs shall follow them." Amen. "These signs," he said, "shall follow them that believe in my name, that cast out devils, that speak with new tongues." And he said, "They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Amen. I'm telling you about the power of God and the Holy Ghost today. And we have to begin to realize what we have when we get the Holy Ghost. It is just not a ticket to heaven. It is, as Paul said, Christ in us. Amen. And with Christ in us, we can do all things. There is nothing that, amen, can come against us that can prevail against us. I wonder if in this building, how many have been healed miraculously? You've had a healing. Come on. Amen. So you know, healing is just a part of the work of God. I've had 7 great miracles in my life. And somebody told me, "Brother Russell, you need to write a book, you know, because my goodness, God has done so many things." But I'm not any greater than any of you. God loves you just as much as He loves me. And what he does for one of us, he'll do for all of us. When I look back, I think in 1978, I was working and I pulled on this huge tree. I was cutting a tree down to build a house, and I was trying to pull it to the side of the house because it started to rain, and all of a sudden I felt like a knife stick through my back. I thought I'd had a heart attack, and I went to a little place over here on Main Street. I thought if I could get a Pepsi, I'd be all right. You know, it would just settle things. And I pulled up to the window. This little cafe was right there at 17th Street. And I had laid out in the rain for almost a half hour. I couldn't even move. Finally, I got up and got into the truck, and I got there, and I rolled up to the window, and I asked the lady, I need a large Pepsi. And she looked at me, and she said, "Sir, should I call an ambulance?" And I said, no, I'm going to be all right. Just give me the Pepsi. I'll be all right. So I rolled over to a phone booth, and I reached out, and I called my wife, and I said, I think I better go to the hospital. And so she said, "Where are you going?" I said, "Memorial. So come over there as soon as you can. I don't know what's going on, but this lady scared me. She thinks I need an ambulance." And when I got to the hospital, I drove up under the canopy there at Memorial Hospital, and all of a sudden, I guess shock was starting to break in. I started shaking everywhere. I mean, I was shaking so violently that the guy came out and said, "You can't park here." And he looked at me and said, "Oh, my God, I'll be right back." And he ran in, and they got a stretcher, and they brought it out, and they put me on it. And next thing you know, I'm in the hospital. They're tearing my shirt off of me, and they bring this needle with that long, and they stick me right in the chest. And when they did, the next thing you know, I didn't wake up for a day, I think, but I was in intensive care, and they said, "Boy, you're a young man to have such a horrible heart attack." And then they went to all these tests, and they found out he didn't have a heart attack. He tore his heart loose from his chest wall, and it was just a very rare thing, but my heart was just in there, just flopping on the one side. And they said, "Well, we're going to have to do open heart surgery on you." And I said, "Oh, no, we can't do that." And they said, "There's no way to attach that back to your chest unless we do open heart surgery." And I said, "This ain't going to make no sense to you, but I'm going to trust God." Amen. And you just fix me up. They said, "You can't lay quiet enough." And I said, "Well, let's do whatever you think could help me." And they strapped me all up like this and some kind of I don't know what it was, but I couldn't move. I went home, and I was 3 days. I was like this. You know, when you can't move your arm, you can't put your clothes on. You can't put your socks on. You can't do anything, you know. Finally, I said to my wife, I said, "Look, you gotta undo me. I can't live like this." And I said, "Take this thing off of me, and we're just going to have to trust God." And you know, I took it off, and day by day I got better and better and better. And all of a sudden, I just forgot about it. Finally, I went back to the doctor for a checkup. They went all kinds of tests, and they said, "I don't know how in the world you did it, but your heart seems to have attached back to your chest." Amen. It seems like everything's going to be all right. Amen. And I'm telling you, God is a miracle working God. There's nothing that is too hard or difficult for God. I don't want to keep you too long here, but I think of COVID. Every one of you know, this church prayed hard for me. I thank God for your prayers. Amen. I was in Memorial Hospital with COVID. I was 12 days on a ventilator. I went on a Friday night with 7 men into the ICU ward, and I was the only one to walk out. All the rest of them perished in that ICU unit. The man next to me, he was 39 years old and died of COVID. But they called my wife, and they said, "We've tried on that 12th, 13th day. They said, we tried twice to get him off the ventilator. We're going to try one more time." And if he can't, then you can come and you can say goodbye to him. And she put it out on Facebook, Brother Russell needs prayer. And people prayed all over the place. And about midnight that night, all of a sudden, the room lit up as bright as a noonday sun. And I'm telling you, it was such a bright light. It was just almost like a white light. And all of a sudden, I heard angels singing. And they were singing, "Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which is and which is to come." And I felt a hand touch me on my shoulder. And I heard a voice speak to me, and he said, "You will not die. I still have much work for you to do." And all of a sudden, I had a conversation with God. And talking with him, he said, "I want you to tell people that they need to get back to the basics. And that is preaching repentance and baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Because it's the only message that saves. It's the only opportunity they'll have to make it to heaven. And that needs to be preached in the world today. I'm telling you today, we serve a God that wants to do wonders and miracles. And that's what attracts people to the kingdom of God. In our church, we had two women who had ovarian cancer, both of them stage 4 ovarian cancer, and the one, God reached down quickly and touched her, and what a miracle took place in her life. She was given 4 months to live, and she's now lived 15 years without any sign of cancer again. The other one, she had an operation in which they opened her up and then they sewed her back up. And they said she had maybe 60 days. It's in her colon, it's in her liver, it's in her kidneys, it has spread everywhere. And she went down to about 86 pounds, but she never missed the church service. I'm telling you, that sister came, and I would say to myself, she needed to stay home in bed because she is just in misery. And yet, she was in the house of the Lord. And one night, we had a service wherein we were praying for those that needed to be healed, and we prayed for her. And she went home, and she felt in her heart, she said, "I know God has touched me." And all of a sudden, she began to get hungry. She began to eat. Instead of losing weight, she was beginning to gain weight. And the doctors were telling her, "Well, the chemotherapy is working. Your numbers are getting tremendously better. And we'll just keep doing it." She continued to improve and improve and improve to the point and the place where all of a sudden they said, "There's no cancer in you." And then they run CAT scans. And they said, "It's amazing. But it looks as though your kidneys and liver and your colon, everything's coming back together just like it was before, amen, you were sick." And I'm telling you what God does. He doesn't do halfway. Amen. He's a miracle-working God. And it's all through the power, amen, that's given to us. And we need to use that power. You know, I think the devil has blinded our eyes sometimes that we think, pastor needs to pray and God can do that. But he said, "These signs shall follow you that believe." Every one of you have the power within you because you have God residing in your life through the power of the Holy Ghost. And you're to be an extension of Jesus. And you're to reach out in faith and pray a prayer of faith, knowing that God is going to hear that prayer. He said, "Whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it." Praise God. And I'm telling you today, God wants to work among his church. Amen. We need to understand today that this Spirit of God is not just for a few, but it's for everyone. I don't care where you are today with God. You might be a long way away from God, but you can close the distance between you and God with just a prayer. It don't take a fancy prayer. It just takes opening your heart and saying, "Lord, come in my life. I want you to change my life completely." And I'm telling you, if you're sincere in your heart, he not only will forgive you of your sins, but he'll pour his Spirit within your heart and give you the power and ability to be a little extension of himself. And I think the power of God, the creative power and all the things which he did in the Old Testament and all the things we read about what he did in the New Testament, he wants to do that through us today. He wants to use us as in vessels, amen, an extension of himself. But we've got to realize the power that is in us in the Holy Ghost. He has given us power to overcome. Not just that we can exist in this world, but that we can overcome this world. And that we would be more than conquerors through Christ. And I look at the life of Apostle Paul and I realize why he would come to a place. He said, I am persuaded that neither life nor death, things present or things to come. I don't care what happens in my life. Nothing is going to separate me from the love of God, which I have in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Amen. And so Jesus is just as close as the mention of his name. I mean, you don't have to wait. You just have to believe that he will hear your prayer, and he is just that close. Would you stand with me today? Amen. I talked about miracles, but the greatest miracle that there is salvation. That's the greatest miracle. The fact that Jesus can take a heart of stone and turn it into a heart of flesh. Amen. And that he can write in that heart of flesh his commandments. And we do it out of a feeling of our heart. We serve God from our heart. Amen. And we the things we do, we're not doing because it's commanded of us. But it's in our heart. It's because we love God. And we know he loves us. And there's not a thing that he will not do for his own. He said, if you being earthly know how to do good things for your children, how much more your heavenly Father? I'm telling you today, he wants every one of you to have the Holy Ghost. He wants every one of you, amen, to have this power working in your life. And it's as close as just a simple prayer away. You just ask with faith, believing, and he will pour it into your life today. Praise God. Amen, amen. Go right ahead. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. I don't know about you, but if you need a healing or if you need the Holy Ghost, you can have it this morning. Whatever your need is, he's here to meet your need. Amen. And all you got to do is come and ask. Come in faith, believing. He said, whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it. Amen. So I'm going to invite you all. Amen. And if you have a need in your life or you want to stand in for someone else, amen, come to this altar in faith, believing, and God is going to do it. He has promised to do it. Amen. He wants to pour out his spirit. He wants to pour out healing. Amen. We're going to believe the Lord today in a mighty way. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Just trust in the Lord. Call out on him right now. Praise God. Whatsoever you have need of, ask of him. Praise God, and he'll do it today. Praise the Lord.
Chain, break every chain. chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. I hear the chains falling. I hear the chains falling.
I hear the
chains. I hear the chains falling.
Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain.
There is great power in the name of Jesus. About 2 months ago, there was one man in my church. He's a policeman. The cleaning lady at the police hall told him, she said, "Brian, I wish you'd have your church pray for us." And she said, I just got a very bad report that I have cancer. My stomach had spread into both lungs. And they just said they can't operate. There's nothing they could do. And she's a Catholic woman, very faithful to Mass every morning. She's just been that way for 50, almost. She was probably in her late 60s. And he said, we will pray. He had told her about some of the women that got healed. And he asked her, he said, "Do you mind if I bring Pastor by to pray for you?" And she said, "Oh, I'd be tickled to death. You guys should come and pray for me." And so we went to her house that one afternoon, and she was just a little old gray-headed lady, short lady. Sister, she was short. Amen. And we prayed. And as we prayed, I just felt the Lord just fill the room. The presence of God became so real in that room. And I opened my eyes, and she was crying. She had tears dripping off her chin. And after we quit praying, she said, I went to Mass for over 50 years. And she said, "In all my time, I've never felt God like I felt here today." And she said, that was just an awesome presence that was in this room while you guys were praying. And 3 weeks after that, she waved him down, and she said, "Ryan, you'll never believe. She said, "I went to the doctor and I told him how good I was eating, and I was having no pain in my stomach and all this. And so they run another CAT scan, and they can't find cancer anywhere in my body." Amen. She said, it's completely gone. Amen. And sometimes the devil will tell people, you got to measure up before you're healed. You know, you got to be something closer to God. But you know, Jesus went about healing all manner of sickness. And he never said, you got to follow me to get healed. You know, he never said that. He never laid a requirement upon them. It was just an act of faith. Amen. And so sometimes the devil says, you say, well, I wish you'd get closer to God. God could heal you. No, don't say that to people. Just say, I believe God can heal you. I'm going to pray and God's going to do it. And believe it. Amen. Realize the power that we have within us. We have the power of the Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. He resides in us. And we have the authority by His Word, amen, to speak these things into existence. Praise God. And so may the Lord bless you, amen, as you leave this house today. Leave as an evangelist, a messenger, a witness of Christ. You can pray, and God will hear your prayer and heal people. You can cast out devils. Amen. You can bind the devil and send him. You know, it said we tear down the strongholds of Satan. And we need to start doing that, because that's what real witnesses are. They're witnesses unto Christ. Amen. We need to be so. God bless you. It's been good to be here this morning. I hope, amen, that someone got a blessing. Amen. In Jesus' name, God bless you.